Hello and welcome to today's episode. Today I'm here with Nicole Rogers and we're going to be talking about her book 13, One Woman's Sacred Journey to Discovering Her Greatest Power. I cannot wait to jump into this conversation. You are listening to Creating Wellness from Within, a podcast devoted to helping you live your best life through self-care and wellness. In each episode, I strive to offer you actionable advice and tools to help you on your journey towards greater personal wellness. I am your host, Amy Zellmer. I am editor-in-chief of Midwest Yoga and Life magazine and author of the Chair Yoga Pocket Guide, available on Amazon. I am passionate about yoga, wellness, photography, travel, and all things glittery. You can learn more about me at creatingwellnessfromwithin.com. Today's guest is Nicole Rogers, and she is a speaker, author, and empowerment coach who helps people reclaim their confidence, expand their perfect audience, and bring their fearless vision to life. She has taught her Zen Red method globally and has helped her clients become a more confident version of themselves and in alignment with their true purpose through her signature course, Powerful Presence. Her work can be found at NicoleRogers.com, and 13 is her premier book. Welcome to the podcast, Nicole. So happy to have you here.
Hi, Amy. And I have to say right off the bat, this is so cool because Amy and I have worked together in the past. We did some online events together. She was kind enough to come on to an event of mine and help teach her brilliance. And it's been years since we've seen each other. So this is just a beautiful reunion. Thank you so much having me.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing that up. I know we connected. It has to be at least 10 years because we connected before I had my brain injury. And that's almost 10 years. I'm coming up on that. So yeah, it's been a while.
We actually connected after. Because you were talking about that. That was like a big thing that you had been through. And we connected, I believe, in 2015 or 2016. Yeah.
So right after.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So that those couple of years are a blur. So yeah, you're right.
You were sharing your Phoenix story with me, and I really appreciated that.
Yes, and I still have that, and I still share that every once in a while. So, well, I'm excited for you and your new book that just came out. What was it? November came out?
Yeah.
Yeah, and beautiful book cover. 13, One Woman's Sacred Journey to Discovering Her Greatest Power. And I know, Nicole, one thing that has always attract, like, so every year around Black Friday is the perfect time to unsubscribe from people that you like just aren't engaged with anymore, right? Because that's when you get like 10,000 emails Black Friday. And you are one of them that I'm like, nope, can't unsubscribe, because aww, I love getting your emails and your writing is so beautiful. You always share a beautiful story in your emails. And so that is what has kept me engaged with you all these years. And so to see you with a book makes so much sense, just because I just have always been so drawn into your writing. So tell me, what's this journey been like getting this book finally published?
Oh, first of all, thank you so much for your kind words. I really appreciate that. And the journey to publishing, it's funny because in the book, I talk about what I call a 13, which is a divine storm. It's basically where you are at a crossroads and you're losing a lot of things in your life, things that are you thought that you couldn't lose. Like you really thought if you lose them, you would die, but you find yourself losing them and it becomes this opportunity to actually create a whole new life from the ashes. And even more so, an opportunity to realize I'm okay. Like without this thing, or person, or identity, that's because that's really what it comes down to, identity, that you've been like, well, I am this, so I'm always this. And so it really becomes this beautiful, sacred moment of just breaking you wide open to your full potential. And what is birthed out of a 13 is actually your your power and your greatest desire will actually come to life. So a 13 typically happens when someone has just been hitting a ceiling, they've been really stuck, they've been staying comfortable, or really they just haven't known. You know, they've been trying like the same thing over and over again, and there's just been this buildup. So it's kind of like this sacred explosion for your benefit. It doesn't feel great. But what is on the other side is what you actually want. And then it's like, oh my God, this is better than I could have ever imagined. So for instance, for me, I have always wanted to have a family. And my 13 in the book begins with my first husband kneeling in front of me and sharing the shocking information that he didn't want to be married anymore, that he was in love with someone else. And by the way, I don't want to be a dad. And at this point, you know, I had been deep in this relationship with him for 18 years, married for almost 15. And it was, oh gosh, you know, talk about a deer in headlights moment.
Yeah.
Realizing that this deepest desire of my heart wasn't going to happen with him. So everything kind of blew up, and the divorce was the beginning of several things of my life and my identities that I tried really hard to keep up, but ultimately weren't going to lead me to what I wanted. And so from the ashes of all that, it was, oh my gosh, I can now create a whole new beginning. So what happened for me was I somehow survived the worst year of my life. And I came out of that year and I had this feeling of possibility, and I began to work with a life coach. Mm-hmm. And she was brilliant because she got me back to a childhood love, which was writing. So it's, you know, my first career was as a performer. And even though I loved writing as much, I really believed the old adage, right? Can't make a living from your writing.
Right.
So I was
starving
like,
starving artist.
So I'm like, okay, well, I can make a living being a stage performer, and I love doing that. I can make a living choreographing, and I love that. So, you know, but it was there. And so like a great coach, she pulled out that which was natural, right? That which just flowed from me. And so I started with a blog, and the blog ended up turning into a coaching business. And as I went out into that business and I was on events, I was interviewing with people, and I was just sharing my story, sharing it in my blog, sharing it on podcasts, like the reaction was always the same, which was, whoa, wow. You know, and I would see how it inspired people and that they would start to access a confidence within themselves and start to see outside of their circumstances and think, what if this is a sacred journey? What if there is something really beautiful emerging here? And so I knew I had to write a book about it, because just telling the story was helping so many.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you know, when you launch a business, there's so many steps, right? And there's so many foundational pieces. And so while I knew the book was going to happen, there was just a lot to do first,
right?
You know, in a new business. And so what happened for me was the pandemic really opened up space, as it did for a lot of artists.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a total like resurgence and renaissance that's come out of that time, because so many artists were in solitude. And that can be a place of a lot coming up, you know, that then can be translated. And for me, it was just, here's the time. And it just felt right. And so I wrote the book in 2021, 8 years after I had lived through it. But I'm so grateful that I waited, because there was a gestation that was happening. Yeah. And a maturity, I think, just for what I was learning about myself and how I had transformed, and being on the other side of, wow, look what is possible out of a divine storm. And The plan was originally to release it in 2022, but we had been matched with a birth mother for adoption, and unfortunately we had a disruption. So that's when an adoption falls through. And so that, you know, oof, that was really devastating. It was on the heels of miscarriage and IVF. Like it was a tough one. So then it was like, okay, we're gonna release the book beginning of spring of 2023. But then in January this year, we got the call. And we drove through the night to hold our daughter for the first time. And the book was not released in the spring because I was on maternity leave. And finally receiving that which I have desired for 11 years. So it really, the timing is so divine that right. It released in the fall. And it really, like 2023 really is like for me, two babies, my child finally coming into my arms and my book.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thinking of so many women who might be listening who have gone through a similar journey, you know, whether that's divorce or heartbreak or grief, or just like, it could even be the loss of a business, right? There's so many things that can hold us back. We're so attached to what that life was that we can't see the life ahead. And so, you know, what are your thoughts or your words of wisdom for those folks listening and like that moving forward, right? Like you said, it took 8 years to even write that story. But you did, and it's here.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, first there has to be an immense amount of approval and tenderness and love, because grief is a vital part of any process. Mm-hmm. Healing does, you can't skip over grief. You can't. Like it'll pop up in its way. It has its own timeline, and the grief has to be processed in order to move forward. So I feel like first and foremost is just coming forward with, how am I feeling, and can I bring approval to that feeling first? And then once there's approval, and if there is unprocessed grief, to address that first and foremost, you know, whether it's through a somatic approach, whether it's through within a professional container, but that it is able to be processed through the body. It's vital. Otherwise, like any other energy, it stays stuck. It hardens, you know, and it can really harden the heart, and it can freeze up access to our confidence and our courage that allows us to move forward. So mm-hmm. then after that, you know, once there is some love and allowing the grieving process, then there's just, there can now be some reflection, which is, okay, was this person, did this job, did this person that I thought I was that really serving what I wanted? Like, with absolute compassion, to just stop and say, was it working? You know, I can say for myself that when my first husband turned 40, he really hit that midlife crisis, and he really started to panic. And we were trying to get pregnant, and I was hearing things out of him that I never expected to hear, which was, it's going to change. You're not going to love me as much. You know, it was like, whoa, you know, I can, and I do this in the book, as I kind of like go backwards to see how this 13 was created, and to really see how, actually, even the week before I got married to him at the tender age of 22, there was a part of me that knew. I didn't know how to trust that part. You know, so what happens out of a 13 is this wisdom and ultimately an amazing amount of trust, so that you can be far more tuned in along the way, so that it doesn't have to be, you know, so dramatic, mm-hmm. but it can be, wow, I'm now tuning in along the way to recognize this isn't working. And so let me redo renavigate the book, the boat towards where
I
want to go.
Yeah. And, you know, just talking about harboring these feelings and, you know, they begin to harden you. And it's actually really detrimental to your health too. Like, you know, just people don't realize how much those negative emotions that we hang on to can be detrimental. You know, they can cause autoimmune, they can cause headaches, they can cause all sorts of issues. And then the person doesn't understand why they're like getting sick and having this fatigue and having all, like, it turns into a snowball, right? And for you, what was like your pivotal moment of like, oh, okay, I'm not meant to have that life. Like, that's not where I'm meant to stay.
So our couples therapy lasted a whopping 2.5 weeks because we wanted different things. You know, I wanted to save the marriage and he just wanted a third party to be witness to what he was saying.
Sure.
And the very last session we went to, which of course I didn't know walking in was our last session, we were sitting on the couch next to each other and he was basically talking about how great his girlfriend was. And I have never felt so invisible in my life.
Right.
And something broke in me of wake up. It doesn't matter what you do. And trust me, by that point, I had done just about everything, calling his family, begging them to speak to, I mean, just everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just woke me up and we came out of that session and I told him to go home and pack his bags. And it put me in a state of shock, but it also just like woke up that, because he wanted a 6-month trial separation. And I was like, wait, you want 6 months to go see if this relationship will work? And I'm supposed to put my life on hold? You know, it was like, there was such passivity happening that I was like, wow. And I recognized how we just weren't on the same page in a very fundamental way, which is that he didn't have a growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And like, that's a terrible combination.
Yeah.
I don't see how that could work in any relationship, honestly.
I can relate.
That's pretty straightforward. But it's like I hadn't allowed myself to see it, even though it had been present since day one. That's the truth. He wasn't lying. I just didn't want to see it because I felt like I could change it. Right?
Right.
I can change this. I can fix this. I can make this work. So that moment, I realized I cannot change this. And if I am going to have what I want for my life, I got to get the F out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was the one, ironically, that asked for the divorce.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about change, I just had this conversation with a good friend of mine and how we have this tendency to think that we can change the other person. And the only thing we can change is ourselves and our situation. We cannot change the other person or force them to see things the way we see them. That's up to them. And, you know, like you kind of have this profound moment of, well, okay, I can't change this. Like it's time to change me and work on me. And I think when and talking again about that growth mindset and my ex-husband, he even like brought it up like, yeah, I don't know, like you want to grow and I'm comfortable staying here, you know?
Exactly.
And so like, you know, he was the one bringing it up. And, you know, it's funny how we do settle and kind of get into that routine. But then there's like that propelling moment of, aha, okay, I have to work on me first and foremost. Like, you can try all you want to change that other person, whether it's a spouse, a partner, a business partner, a coworker, right? You can try all you want to change them. And it's not, you know, that's on their terms, not on yours. All you can change is you and how you react to the person or the situation.
Yeah.
Or and removing yourself.
Right. And this is another powerful way, a powerful part of a 13 is that it is going to wake you up out of this dream or being asleep in this way of believing that. And for good reason, right? Especially as women, isn't this what we've been conditioned to believe, is that we can fix anything? And we can, if we just try harder, if we just look a certain way, if we just say the right thing, you know? And so it is, we're up against something ancestral and we need to have respect for that as we're making our way through. But a 13 will help us to galvanize and go, wait a minute, I have been placing my power within someone else, in something else. And it hasn't been working. I've never been fulfilled. I've never been filled up. I've just been in a loop, almost like an addictive loop. And so when there is that pattern interrupt, then it's like, wait a minute. Wow. Then there's that opportunity to go inside and start to see, oh my God, this is how I can access my confidence. This is how I can be clear of my self-worth and receive my wisdom, regardless of what anybody else is thinking or saying, and what a difference that makes. But there has to be that moment first.
Yeah.
But what a beautiful outcome. What a beautiful outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can find someone, if it is love, then you can find a partner that's like, oh, yeah, bring on the growth, and ooh, that's juicy, and oh, I love when you're lit up. You know, it's very different, and it took kissing quite a few frogs and being completely awkward in dating. I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but when I found my life partner, I was like, whoa, this is radically different than what I experience and what I felt was my person, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and he's completely growth oriented. And so it's just, it's like a relief to the system, you know, that we can get, then create things together like a family.
Yeah, exactly. Or a team, or, you know, yeah. And it's just so powerful when you're vibing with the right vibe. You know, because it's true, we all hold energy and vibration, and, you know, your vibration might be up here and the other person's is down here, and you're never going to match if you're at those different vibrations. You have to find, you know, you either have to bring yourself down to them, or they have to come up to you, or you have to find someone who already matches you. And so, you know, I think it's really hard, especially for women who are in a marriage for a long time. And, you know, we've been taught that, like, this is what you do. You just stay there. Even if it sucks, you stay married because you have kids or whatever it is. And it's like, why has this been, you know, talking about that ancestral baggage, like, why is this how it has always just been ingrained in us? Like, we have to start breaking these habits and breaking free from them. Because I feel like it's always been on the woman, right? To be the one to have to change or do whatever in a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been a function of survival, right? Mm-hmm. Because we've been property. We've been property for centuries. Yep. And we relied on the partner to provide. So it's deep. It's deep. And the nervous system has been trained that way. So it is.
You're right.
And honestly, the way through is always back to our desire, back to what is it that I want? Because if that is not what you want to, you know, if you're coming down to people, there's a part of you that wants to do that. And so you're not going to expand and make a change unless that is what you want more than anything. And for me, when this 13 happened, it happened in such a crucial time. I was 37 years old. I had just been trying to get pregnant for a year and a half. I mean, the clock was tick-tock ticking. So you know what I mean? The desire level was high. It was high. So I think that's why it was just, I call it a divine storm, because there were so many factors that came in at once to really just take me off of the course I was going and go over here. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness.
Yeah. And I mean, isn't there so much clarity too that comes after that storm? And like, just this clarity of what you want or what you see now that wasn't working, or, you know, like there's just such clarity once you finally get there.
Yeah. And it was something that was so helpful for me, because I found Zen in 2013, which was finally giving me tools around my mind. You know, the thing that I didn't have as a performer, my inner critic was cuckoo. You know, I just didn't even know how to deal with it. But, you know, finally having these tools were allowing me to, I know what I was going to say. One of the basic teachings in Buddhism is the lotus only blooms in the mud. And I found this so inspiring, because boy, was I in the mud. Literally, it was like a divorce. I was robbed. I lost a dear friend to a heart attack, and I was in two car accidents. And yes, those all happened in 1 year. It doesn't get muddier than that. And so to know that there would be a bloom, a beautiful bloom out of this mud, just it kept me in it. Do you know what I mean? To trust that what I was going through would create wisdom, which it did. And so, you know, to recognize that when we're in the mud and things are icky and thick, know that that's the only way the lotus will bloom. You take it out and put it in clean water, it will die. So there is a process that's happening through that muddy time that is going to, like you say, the lotus bloom, I think, is the most beautiful thing, analogy around clarity. Because when we have clarity, especially as women, like, bring it on. I know what I'm going to do next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, when you're in that mud, and like you mentioned, like with like eight things happen in 1 year, you know, and some people go into a victim mentality, right? Like, why is this happening to me? And, you know, why me? And I get it. I understand that. And there is a time for self-pity, but then there's a time where you gotta like kind of suck it up and like understand like, okay, this happened for a reason. Like with my TBI, you know, at the very beginning, it was like, oh my God, why is this happening? There's gotta be a reason. And I knew that. I always knew that. And it took me a year to find my reason. But you know, you have to go through that mourning period, right? And then that lotus can bloom and rise up. But you have to be able to see that, right? You can't just stay stuck in the mud.
Well, and I feel like you have to be able to feel it. You have to feel it.
Yes.
Like if we're not feeling what we're going through, then we will stay stuck. You know, it comes back to what I was talking about with the grief and like moving the energy. So you have to feel it. And we are not taught how to do this. This is something that we have to learn, especially in Western culture. How do I feel? How do I get in touch with the sensations in my body and make sense of them? How do I take the sensations in my body and transform them into wisdom? How do I transform them into my power? These are things that we have to learn. Thankfully, there's wonderful, wonderful tools and teachers around this. But
yes.
Without that, this goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, without that approval, this too, yes, I'm saying yes, we will never move forward. So I feel like asking the question, why is this happening to me, is probably the most important question you will ask. And so, yes, it can have that victim feeling when the grief has not been processed, when you're not feeling your feelings and you're shut off, but you're still asking the same important question, which is, why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
And if there is just that, if there can be approval, I feel like crap, I'm crying all the time, this really sucks, right? Approval, approval, approval. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, then why is this happening? It's going to feel like an easier question to answer.
Right.
Then I don't want to feel what I'm feeling, and I don't want to be going through what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a powerful distinction of like, why am I going through this without any feeling? And then why am I going through this and feeling the feels and coming to that understanding? Because that's exactly like what I went through with my TBI. That in the beginning, I was in so much pain, like physical pain, and I couldn't see any way out of it. But then there was just that shift of like, okay, this happened for a reason. What's my reason? And, you know, once I could figure that out, everything shifted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Nicole, we are just about out of time and I could talk to you all day. But I want to make sure we take a moment to talk about how people can find you and work with you and find your book. So wherever people are listening, I will have a clickable link in the show notes. So we have NicoleRogers.com is your personal website. And then 13thebook.com is your website for the book. So tell us a little bit about both and what they can find.
Yeah. So you go to 13thebook.com. That's 13thebook.com. And it is part of NicoleRogers.com, but it's easy to remember. 13thebook.com, go there. And if you would like to download some free chapters and have a little sacred sneak peek first to be like, I don't know if I'm going to like this book, there are free chapters that you can download there, enter your information, come straight to your inbox. If after this you're like, Nicole, I'm in, then when you go to 13thebook.com, there are clickable buttons to take you directly to Amazon or barnesandnoble.com or bookshop.org. The book is everywhere. It's at Goodreads. But it's a simple thing to do. And then going to NicoleRogers.com, if you want to learn more about me and the way that I help my clients reclaim their confidence, there are free trainings there that you can sign up for around your confidence, around quieting your inner critic. And there's also a contact form there. So please reach out if you have any questions.
Nicole, thank you so much for being here. And just thank you for sharing your story, for just being so open and vulnerable, because I know that's how change happens, right? Other people will read your story and be inspired to make change in their own life. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on and creating a space where we can come and do this.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please consider leaving a 5-star review wherever you are listening to help others on their journey discover this podcast. And be sure to head over to MidwestYogaLife.com and sign up for our email list to stay in the know of upcoming local events and our yoga conference and so much more. Thank you all for listening. Have a great day, and I'll see you in the next episode.